Blog Talk Radio.
Strawberries, cherries. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax.
Seriously, Brad, if you treat her right, she might make you a darn good employee.
I didn't know anything about the gold standard, I'm afraid, but I do love little kittens.
And you drank red wine from a box.
Not these ladies.
So raise your glass if you are
They're smart, sexy, and opinionated. It's time for the Red Wine Show with your hosts, Laura Lee, Jody, and Diane. They're serving up a little wine with your wine on Old Con Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Red Wine. We're so glad you could join us again. Diane is sick, so we are missing her, but we know she's listening. So we'll all give a good shout out to Diane. And Laura Lee is here. Yay! Laura.
Hello. Y'all doing okay? Laura Lee. No, Laura's in Tyler. She says hi.
Oh, good. Good. Well, Laura Lee is with us tonight, and Laura Lee is going to take some time off. She will be joining us occasionally, and she will be focusing mostly on her sports show. So can you believe that we cannot keep her doing two shows, raising two little boys, being in charge of all the things she's in charge of in her own life? Laura, I think you're just dropping the ball. I can't believe you're just not, you just can't do it all.
Plates that I've been spinning. So, yeah. It's difficult. But, yeah, I'll be around. And I look forward to joining in whenever there's something that I really have to rant about. So, y'all will see me then.
Well, good, because we have two major rants tonight, you and I, that we will do the start of the show with our rants. And then at 9:30 Eastern time, the lovely Leslie is going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about something that I only have experienced through my girlfriends who are all recently divorced. Not all, but many of them. And Laura Lee was divorced and is remarried, and Leslie's a single mom who's divorced. And dating really is, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big issue after divorce.
It is, yeah, especially if you really do want to find somebody again. So once you're finally ready to get out there and date, it can be kind of confusing.
Yeah. So that should be a fun segment. So we're going to start this off with the Hillary Clinton email scandal. I know everybody has heard it. I know a lot of people think it's been exhausted. We all heard the speech. We all heard the spin. I get all that. What I don't understand are the amount of people defending her. You know, how many people are there? In chat can look it up quick. How many people are there currently in the United States? What was the last census number? And yet, why do we have such crap pickings on, you know, why is it that it could be a Bush Clinton? I mean, seriously, you can't find one honest person in the whole flipping United States. I mean, I'm livid that this is the pick. And I say that because all of the people that have come out on the left that are saying, oh, this is awful. Yeah, you're right. You know, she really should hand over the server. You're right. She probably did delete emails. This probably is wrong. It probably even is illegal. But, yeah, we'll vote for her anyway.
Let me jump in really fast. G told us in chat 315 million.
315 million. Thank you so much. And we can only find Hillary Clinton for the candidate on the left. A 50-50 country. only one candidate for the left. I don't get it. So, to me, it is just amazing. All of the talent in this world, or in this country, all of the people with ideas that have done amazing things, and that's your pick. So I just don't understand it. But one of the things I heard, and I don't know if all of you have heard it, but there was an interview done this weekend on CBS, and it's their morning show, I believe, and Trey Gowdy was on discussing these emails. Now, we all know it's hooey, that she did not turn over all the emails. We all know this. Every major commentator that has written an article, including the New York Times, which is extremely left, all says it's hooey. You know, so other than, you know, the attack dogs from the 90s like Begala, I think that's how you say it, Paul Begala, Mary Madeline's
Carvel.
Husband, Carvel. Yeah.
Carvel, James Carvel.
Other than those guys who are completely delusional, who will say anything if it's licking the Clinton's feet. most people are saying, yeah. Huffington Post even said, Slate.com even said, yeah, this doesn't look good. But I didn't realize that iconic picture of Hillary Clinton, where she is on the military flight, where she is looking at her BlackBerry with her sunglasses on. So many people have seen that over the last couple years while she was Secretary of State. Did you guys realize that there are no email records from her flight right there where we see her looking at her BlackBerry to Libya, or that entire weekend in Libya? Yet if we say Benghazi, the left goes, oh, right-wing conspiracy, you nut jobs. Oh, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Yet there aren't any emails. We're just, so
right.
She didn't, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But we have that clip. Let's play that clip of Trey Gowdy.
By using this private account on a private server, she could not only keep those emails from the reach of the government, as I understand it, but she could delete the emails without anybody knowing it. So she has sent you some emails, but are there any gaps in the emails you have received so far from her?
Yes, sir. There are gaps of months and months and months. And if you think to that iconic picture of her on a C-17 flying to Libya, she has sunglasses on and she has her handheld device in her hand. We have no emails from that day. In fact, we have no emails from that trip. So it's strange credibility to believe that if you're on your way to Libya to discuss Libyan policy, that there's not a single document that's been turned over to Congress. So there are huge gaps. And you know, with respect to the president, it's not up to Secretary Clinton to decide what's a public record and what's not.
Sorry, I just had to cough. I hope I muted that correctly.
You did. Yeah. Missed it.
Okay, so now I sound like Diane last week. So everybody heard that, right? Everybody heard that. Okay, we know. Everybody knows she's lying. Does everybody recall here the Bush lied, people died chance? And in that case, he was actually given information. The Clintons, both Hillary and Bill, Senator Kerry at the time, they were on, Al Gore at the time, they are all talking about weapons of mass destruction. It was a unanimous vote because Saddam Hussein was telling the inspectors they were not allowed in. So what did he have to hide? Israel was telling us that their intelligence said he had weapons of mass destruction. The British, CIA? I want to say MIA, but that sounds wrong.
MI5.
There you go. their intelligence agency was saying there were weapons of mass destruction. We vote, it's unanimous, we go in. They actually do find weapons of mass destruction. We know this now. Yet the chance of Bush lied, people died, and having a liar in office, they wanted him impeached. There are still people on the left that talk about how Bush should have been impeached. Yet these same people are going to vote for Hillary Clinton, knowing that she's a liar. I don't understand it. Let's play the Kirsten Powers, who I really do respect and like. She's on the left, but let's play her exchange with Bill O'Reilly.
Am I fair to Mrs. Clinton in my analysis, Kirsten?
Yeah, I think you were very fair. You were extremely fair, actually. I may even have been harsher on her than you were. I think you were right. What has to happen, I think, if we want to be able to trust her, is for there to be some sort of independent analysis of these emails. It's just not reasonable for her to think that she can say, I'm going to decide, and you just all have to believe me.
If she doesn't submit to that, and again, I think that the lawsuits are going to fly and things like that, would you still vote for her?
It comes down, of course, to who she's running against.
Well, it says she's running against me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd vote for her for sure.
That's what I thought. So that's her calculation, that it really doesn't matter because people like Kirsten Powers are going to vote for me no matter what.
Well, what might happen is I just might not vote.
You might stay home.
I do find this to be extremely disturbing.
Really?
I really didn't feel that she was being honest because she's smarter than this. You know, she's not this sort of, oh gosh, I didn't realize people would be upset about the fact that I have my own private server. I mean, ooh, I'm so dingy, I didn't realize it. Like, this is a very smart woman with very smart people around her. And the idea that nobody saw this as being a potential problem or that she didn't know that her emails belong to the American people.
Right.
And should be available. It just doesn't pass the smell test.
So there you go, everybody. I Laura, do you have any idea why this is their pick?
Because it just simply has to be, because she's wanted this for so freaking long, and she is not going to stop. That sometimes I think they're just like, you know what? They just throw their hands up and go, fine, let her have it. And I was telling you earlier, Jody and I were chatting earlier, I read Clinton Inc., and it was fascinating because it's basically just the latest version of their lies, their, I'm one of you, I'm dead broke type of thing. And I'll be danged if people aren't going to fall for it again. And it just makes me sick. And I called them sociopathic earlier when Jody and I were chatting. They just really think the rules don't apply. And I think for those of us that have a moral compass, we cannot get over this. But as I was saying about a week ago, I'm like, is anybody really surprised at this point? These folks have been lying nationally since 1991 that I can think of, and in Arkansas for much longer than that. And they're just going to let her, have it. And I cannot fathom why, except that they just want to get it done.
I know. And I don't understand it, because there are intelligent, thoughtful people on both sides who I think have brilliant ideas.
Yes.
And I just don't understand why we keep picking the same tired candidates. I don't understand it. But, before we go on to the horrible SAE fraternity incident, I just want to say, I don't understand how, if we wouldn't tolerate behavior in a business partner, if we wouldn't tolerate that kind of behavior in our, would anybody do their banking with the Clintons? I mean, would you trust Hillary Clinton with your retirement pack? Seriously, no, nobody would.
Yeah.
Does anybody for a minute think that she's a smart lady? Does anybody think for a minute, all the way back from Whitewater, all the way to her husband's affairs, to taking money now from countries where she talks about the war on women. These, are you kidding me? They are stoning women and beheading women and, you know, burning women. And she's fine taking their money. I don't understand. Would any one of you out there that wants to vote for Hillary Clinton, would any one of you truly want to hang out with her on a weekend? I don't even think the people that have to hang out with her on a weekend want to hang out with her on a weekend. So
it does amaze me how there's that core group of hers that have been with her since the Wellesley days, and they are so devoted. And I'm like, what motivates that? Because I just don't think I could ever trust her as a friend. So, you know, Jody, think about what we've been talking about here for the past few weeks. Think about the girls and the boys that are being trafficked here in this country. What has she really done? She said a little something on A Path Appears, and that's been about it. What has she really done? That's a war on women, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, I'm just absolutely baffled by this.
Totally agree. And then we have this news out of Oklahoma.
Okay. This is my rant. Let me let y'all know that I am an old sorority girl, and I have also been a sorority advisor at two different chapters of my sorority. And one of the biggest things we have to do as advisors is kind of police behavior. And the biggest difference between when I first started advising, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and today, and the advice I always tell my girls is anything can be recorded, and it will be recorded, and it will be put up, and you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. So I think we just figured out what happens when somebody's recording it. If any of you have not seen this clip, I wasn't going to play the clip. It's nasty. There's a chant that the fraternity has learned, and I have no doubt it's been handed down from big brother to little brother for years, and it's basically a racist chant that there would never be an N in SAE. And they're on their way to, I think it was their anniversary of their Founders Day or something like that. And they are, I'm sure they're quite intoxicated, or they're on their way to getting that way. And this one guy's up and chanting, okay, that's bad. Here's where it gets really crazy. The University of Oklahoma removed the fraternity from campus, fine. The Sigma Alpha Epsilon National Organization pulled their charter and put a lot of these guys on suspension. I think they suspended the whole chapter for now. They are considering whether or not to keep the membership of the two ringleaders. Okay, fine. The two instigators of this event are both from the Dallas area. What I don't like, number one, they were identified. Their names were released. And I believe it or not, I don't like that, because now these guys are home because they had to move out and it's spring break. They're home. There was a protest being held at one boy's house. There was a sign posted at another boy's house that said, you know, racists are taught. And so these kids are being harassed now. One family has had to leave the house, and I don't think that's fair. I really don't, because the family gets involved. Now, the other problem with these boys is that they are from two of the most exclusive schools in Dallas. So they are buying into the whole rich white guy fraternity thing. That doesn't help them either. So and I'm calling them boys because they're still quite young. I know they think they know everything, but I've dealt with enough of these college kids. Well, Jody, you have them. You know, in so many ways, they're still so young.
Right.
one of the families has gone so far as to hire a crisis communicator who has worked for the likes of American Airlines and other like big national corporations to handle their communication. And there has been a website set up for one of these guys. It's unfortunately stereotypes against stereotypes, which is just bad. So that's number one thing. I don't think these kids should have been identified. I don't. I'm sure some of you disagree with me. That's fine. But I just knew that they would, the retaliation, especially on the families, I don't like. Number two, the university president, David Boren, removed these kids from school, the two instigators. They have been suspended from school for saying these things. The president said that this is not Oklahoma University values. And as a Texas Longhorn, I'll tell y'all that's BS. But anyway, that's just me being rude. This isn't how Oklahoma behaves. Well, I mean, you know, I gotta get a dig in there somewhere. So this doesn't reflect the values of the university. So they have kicked these guys out. Now, what I don't like about that is that they were just unilaterally kicked out. There was no investigation of this. There was no hearing of any kind. These guys are going to have an appeal hearing at the end of the month. I actually, believe it or not, think they should be reinstated. Okay, y'all, let me just stop, okay? And Stan 92, Titan, no wonder, Boomer. Oh, my gosh, he goes and says Boomer. Titan, you're doing that just on purpose to make me mad. Okay. So they will be able to appeal it. I actually hope they are reinstated. This is kind of a free speech thing because, as we were talking earlier, if these guys are going to get kicked off for doing this, why at a state university, again, state university, why aren't some of these groups that are saying horrible anti-Semitic rants on campus, shouldn't they get suspended too? Why are they being defended for free speech and these guys aren't? So, Jody, what was your take on this when we talked about it earlier?
That is
exactly, you said some good things.
Right. I said UCLA, they have major anti-Semitism going on. Major anti-Semitism. Was it Rachel Beta? I think that's how you said her name. She was turned down for a student government post just because they said her Jewish faith would affect her impartiality. Recently, I think it was at California College, they voted to get rid of the American flag on campus, which has now been reinstated. But there are a lot of things that go on college campuses where freedom of speech doesn't always mean the kind of speech I like or appreciate. Now, I think that racist, horrible chant, shame on them. And I think instead of kicking those boys out, those boys need an education. That's what they're in college for. Those boys, this is a perfect example to take those boys. We just had the Selma March. You take those boys into neighborhoods where true racism has affected a community. And I don't mean Ferguson. I mean real incidents in the South, where areas where Black people were unable to be on county commissioner boards or school boards, where they were turned down for business loans. These boys need an education. Mm-hmm. And I think kicking them out and releasing their name, what's going to happen now if one of them comes up dead? What's going to happen now if one of them is shot? That's
exactly
my whole thing.
Exactly.
You know, I think that the university taking a hard line on it, I think that's a great thing. I think coming out right away saying, we are going to deal with this. This is disgusting. We won't tolerate it. Wonderful. I wish all universities would do that when it comes to anti-Semitism as well. or
yes.
Christians, or Christians. You know, the one guy was not allowed to pass out a copy of the Constitution. Nothing, no opinion on it, just the actual Constitution on a college campus. I think that was Baylor. So there are a lot of things that go on when it comes to 1A issues. But I just think I'm with you. They deserved the due process just like everything else. And so the ACLU is getting involved, I think I just read, correct?
Yes. And, y'all, that just cracks me up because when I think about, like, Oklahoma, I'm like, oh, that's just one of the most anti-ACLU states. So y'all just have to forgive me because I think that's just hilarious. So, but anyway, that's how bad it is. When ACLU is coming to Norman, Oklahoma, that's just dang. That's all I have to say.
Well, the ACLU was in Oklahoma not long ago when it came to that lovely satanic statue, right? Outside
It's just so funny. It's just like, oh my gosh. So, but also, I think what you're saying about the Oklahoma.
Can I just ask quick? Wasn't Oklahoma where the beheading was of the lady too? What's going on in Oklahoma?
Honey, it's Oklahoma. I mean, that just says it, Oklahoma. So that's its whole reason in itself. Enough said. Sorry, Pastor Frisbee, if you're listening. Yeah, no, Pastor Frisbee
gonna
don't get me.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah. You know, Titan, you actually have a good point here. That hurts all SAE nationwide. Yes, SAE kind of does have a reputation for not always having the best, kind of known for being racist on other campuses, and I was looking some of that up earlier. So it does, it's another black mark on them as well. Ooh, no pun intended. Oi, okay, it's another, like, bad thing against them. So also, though, Jody, I like what you were saying about education, because these two boys, where they are from, I can guarantee you very little diversity in their lives. They have not grown up with much diversity. So, and unfortunately, they have not had an African-American member of that sorority fraternity since about, I think it was the mid-90s when I looked up. So it is kind of tough, because when you have grown up in a certain, I don't know, echelon, you just don't, I don't think you really think about it. You throw in some liquor, you throw in the party bus, and you're just asking for trouble. So,
yeah,
anyway.
I agree. And I just have to say, I would just be horrified if my friends and family with mixed race or black children saw this, you know, or were exposed to this while they're on university. I just can't even imagine how they felt. So, you know, I really hope that the kiddos on that campus, I really hope they don't assume that all white people or all white frat boys behave that way.
Mm-hmm. No, and they don't. I mean, there have been some really good fraternities that we have worked with in the past with our sororities. And then even when I was, you know, a million years ago, when I was like in a sorority, they were like that. They were good fraternities. But it is unfortunate because it's so easy to pick on the Greeks. You know, it's just very easy.
Those damn Greeks. Okay, I think we need to go to a commercial break.
I think we do. Okay.
So, all right, we'll be back in a moment with Miss Leslie.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
And
And I believe we're back.
Hey, do you want to talk to us? Then pick up the phone. Dial 646-716-7039 and... The alternative source of news, talk, and music for today's unconventional conservatives. This is AltCon Radio.
Okay, now I think we're back, but what do I know?
I think we are.
And I think we are really lucky to be joined with by Leslie. Are you here?
I am here, ladies.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Well, I'm a little concerned that I don't have the right accent to be on this show. Apparently, you have to be Southern.
Well, do I have a Southern accent?
I think you all do.
Well, I do.
Well, if you want to throw a y'all in there, you'll fit right in.
There you go. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Okay, so I just have to let y'all know, Leslie is my girl crush on Twitter. I am absolutely beside myself that she is here tonight, and I'm just thrilled. And G has said, Leslie, smoking hot mama here in the chat room. So your adoring fans are here to hear from you, Leslie. So glad you're here, babe.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm sure everyone wants to, A, make sure that I am a real person. And I'm sure anxious to hear how super sweet and pleasant that I am.
Hey, just so y'all know, it's not me faking my voice as Leslie. Just wanted to jump in and say that.
My voice only sounds like yours after a really, really rough night.
And mine too.
And a few things. That's very funny. So those of you that don't know, Leslie is a single mom. She is divorced. And we talked about this before, the difficulties of dating. And the misconceptions about single moms in the dating world.
I think that there is a misconception about single moms, period. I don't think it's just when it comes to dating. I find it everywhere. I find it in politics. I find it socially. I think the main thing that I would like to express is not every single mother is necessarily a single mother by divorce. And I mean by choice. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe they didn't initiate the divorce. Not every single mother is, you know, somebody that got knocked up or something like that. In my situation in particular, without getting into great detail, I was married for 10 years. He was a professional athlete, and we got divorced when our daughter was 2 years old. So although I didn't initiate the divorce, at this point in my life, very happy that it happened. I feel that I look at it personally as every bad decision that he had made has led to every great decision that I have made for myself and for my daughter. I think dating after divorce is a personal choice. I know friends of mine that got divorced and they wanted to date right away. I have other friends that were divorced and wanted to kind of have a adjustment period or cooling off period. I think that it depends if you have children or not. In my particular case, my daughter was so young that for me personally, I did not feel that it was appropriate to try to immediately bring somebody else into the house. Also at that mm-hmm. time, I was focused then on what I needed to do, knowing I was going to be a single parent and knowing that I ultimately was going to be the sole provider in all things for myself and my daughter. What I needed to do to make sure that not much changed in her life. So I went back to school, got a degree in a specific field, worked hard to get the highest position that a paralegal can get at the law firm that I work at, wanted to make sure we got out of an apartment and into a home, and I put those things well ahead of dating. And now that my daughter is 11, I can honestly say I'm that person. I didn't date. I haven't dated really significantly since I got divorced, and I've been divorced almost 7 years.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Really a great thing. I mean, that's the Dr. Laura thing
yeah.
you were describing right there, Leslie. You know, she says kids come first, and mm-hmm. you've got to get everything you've got to get yourself where you need to be first before
sure.
you're thinking about dating another man. I think I applaud you. I think that's wonderful.
Well, I think it's
absolutely.
Hard too as a conservative woman. I'm not an advocate for divorce. I do want to say that. I'm an advocate for marriage, but more than that, I am an advocate for happiness and trust and respect and those things. And I feel that if you can't have that in a marriage, I think sometimes, especially conservative moms, but more so single moms, is we often can get looked down upon because we're not in this two-parent household, and we really want to push a two-parent household. I do think that's important. I come from a two-parent household. My parents are still married. They've been married over 50 years. But I think it is more important to raise a child in a happy and healthy household with one parent than a disruptive or possibly even destructive household just for the name's sake of we're a two-parent household.
Yes, I have to agree with that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as far as dating after divorce, I would be what you would call a non-expert on that.
That's okay.
Happily,
but you know
happily
what?
A happy non-expert. I'm not answering.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But this is good because you're not just a happy non-expert, you're a healthy example of what a single mom should be aspiring to be for her children. So many women I have come across, it's like they're trying to find the next dad to take care of the kids, and they're not giving themselves enough time to get past what has happened to them. They're not giving themselves time to say, where did I go wrong? And I think that's one of the most important things when you are divorced, is that you've got to take a good hard look at yourself too, before you get back out there.
I think if women are completely honest if they go through a divorce, regardless of how thin or attractive or amazing personality, whatever it is that you have to offer or feel about yourself, I think if we're really honest after a divorce, you reevaluate all of those things. And I think everyone takes that time where they think, well, maybe I need to work out more, or maybe I need to do this. And you try to improve yourself externally.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times the change needs to come internally. And
yes,
then you
absolutely.
Go from there. I mean, I'm raising a daughter. So for me, what's important to me is to show my daughter that which is why with the divorce, I'm unhappy, because what she would have witnessed was a not healthy relationship, a not respectful relationship, and that's not the type of relationship that I want for her. I want her to have
right.
that treats her well and with respect, but it goes both ways. You have to do that,
yes.
you know, as well. And as much as that, mm-hmm. I want her to realize you don't need not just a man, any other person to be dependent on or for survival. She is also very independent, but, you know, she's only 11, so
to talk about her dating would honestly make me want to vomit and then possibly cry. cry a little bit. I don't want to talk about that. But my thoughts on dating were always, and now at the age that I'm at, you know, I'll be 44 in May. My daughter is 11. She also has a full concept of those things, meaning she would understand somebody coming into the house. She would understand that she is still first and foremost my main priority. I think it's hard because you want somebody that, you know, you come with baggage when you're a mother. And so you want somebody that is going to accept that. And I actually hate that term. I would prefer that we would call them accessories and not baggage. But you want to find somebody that will love your child or children as much as if they were their own. And that's difficult to find.
Yes.
It
Very
is. I have a friend. I have a friend that may be listening tonight. I'm not sure if she is or not, but she has three children. And that is what she said. It took her a while to get back in the dating game. Her husband left, and it took her a while to get through all of that. And what she found is that with kids' activities and kids' sports, it was really hard when you were dating someone to really have them understand that your weekends are full of soccer, volleyball, and that comes first.
Right, as it should. I mean, I think that it's important to be your best self, and if you're happy, I think then ultimately your children see that happiness and they're happy. So, you know, it's great to want to date and find somebody that can add to the love. I don't also like the term step. I don't like stepfather, stepmother, stepchildren. Mm-hmm. I prefer the term bonus because you're adding
you're adding on to people
that are going to love you and they're going to love your child. But at the same time, you don't want to take away. My daughter's very active. She's athletic. And, you know, those things should not be pushed to the side in case they don't fit with somebody else's schedule. You do. You have to find somebody that fits into all of those different puzzle pieces to make a complete puzzle. And it's very it's difficult. It's difficult to do, but it's also in the mindset. My mindset was specified field and career and, you know, having things be comfortable as the sole income and sole provider of my daughter. You know, and all of those things, which technically I would be like a Democrat voting dream. Because I kind of shatter
you.
I keep zero assistance. I do it all on my own. So ladies out there, you can also do it on your own without government assistance. And it's okay if you do need it. But, you know, I am less what you would call a very strong personality. So I think that's another thing is you've got to find somebody. At 43, I'm not changing. Not changing at 43. So I think you've also got to find somebody that you can still be who you are.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Definitely.
So that brings us to Laura. Laura, how did you meet Jay?
This is the part that people just crack up about. After my divorce, and I will admit I did not have children with my ex-husband, and I think that probably made things so much easier. But I met Jay online. And even though we obviously, as a couple, and we have two kids now, we'll be married, 9 years in May. Goes fast. Okay. Anyway,
well, it does if you like the person.
We don't really. He is hilarious, but I will also say that I knew I was in a place in my life where I could have gone on by myself. I really could have, and it would have been great, but it was just that much more fun to go through life with him. So that was kind of a
Let me ask you this. Do you find that
maybe what you wanted when you first got married in a partner changed once you got divorced and got a little bit older and did become in a place where you felt that you could do it on your own. Did you find that you were looking for things completely different in a man to spend the rest of your life with than what you initially thought you wanted for a life partner?
Abso-freaking-lutely, yeah. I got married right out of college. I got married 1 month after college. I met him in January of my senior year, and we were engaged by spring break. And then we moved in June. So it was too fast, and we were still very young. And I think that was really what it came down to, because when we started really growing up, so to speak, we wanted completely mm-hmm. different things, and it made sense to go. So, to go our separate ways. And yeah, there was just a lot more substantial things I was looking for mm-hmm. in a potential spouse than there was the first time around, because you really don't know yourself yet. You don't really know what you want yet. And yeah, it's very different.
I think that society that focuses on looks.
I was just going to say, your statement, Leslie, that you said before, people concentrate on the external, fixing that, instead of the internal.
Yes.
I think that mm-hmm. That is spot on. And I think that really sums up people dating in their 20s, you know.
Absolutely.
That's why
absolutely.
They end up divorced.
I know men might be like, oh, wah, wah, blah, blah. But it is more difficult for a woman, because there is, regardless, even from other women, there is an expectation that you should look a certain way. And, you know, we focus on that and, you know, working out nonstop and things like that. And especially as you get older, I don't really know who we're competing with, but whether it's each other or for someone's affection. But for me personally, you know, at one point, do you want looks? Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I don't need to be physically attracted to somebody to want to date them, because that would be a lie. Of course you need to be physically attracted. There needs to be some sort of chemistry, but maybe what's attractive to me now, maybe other people wouldn't find, you know, attractive. I want to mm-hmm. laugh. That's for the rest of my life.
Yes.
What do I want?
Mm-hmm.
I want to have fun with somebody. I want to laugh.
Yes.
I want to enjoy
yes.
their company. And that's the person that I want to be sitting next to. Well, mainly I need somebody that's also going to make fun of everybody with me. So that's kind of important. But and I can say right now in my life, I'm in love with every aspect of what's going on in my life. But that's what I looks fade, all of those things fade, weight fluctuate, but somebody that truly can get you and respect you and understand you and make you feel great regardless
yeah.
of what you look like or what you weigh, if you're having a good day or a bad day. But at the end of the day, it's the person that you want to be sitting next to and that you're going to laugh with. That's what I want, and I think that's what's hard to find, because this society focuses too much on the external, and, you know, that is only going to take you so far.
What about
yes.
politics?
What about
politics, Leslie? And Laura, do you mm-hmm. think you could date somebody now? Because I think when we're in our 20s and we are caught up more in the romance, not that you can't still have that, or the looks or whatever, we're not really thinking about ideology as much, religion or politics. What
right.
about that? Those factors now?
Much more important now.
Absolutely. I think especially mm-hmm. if you have children, you know, I can respect somebody else's opinion, absolutely. It can be completely opposite of mine, and they can vote different party lines as I do, and we can be friends. We can be great friends. We can be best friends. We're not going to be husband and wife. I mean, that's something for me that, you know, I want that conservative household
I'm probably a little bit more modern conservative, and what I say by that is the issues and the morals and the things that I stand on, those come more from personal upbringing and religious beliefs, but there's areas of conservatism that I don't care about, and I don't want to get into that, but it's more like gay marriage and things like that. I just think on the large scale of things, we have a whole lot of other issues we need to fix first. So for me, raising a child, I still want that. And then when she grows up, guess what? She's going to experience the world, and she's going to have the right to choose her path and different things. And, you know, we talk a lot about all different sides of things. So, you know, if she, I can't even say the words if she grows up to be a liberal, because I will literally have to laugh. I will have to cut something, but if she were, I'll still love her.
You would still love her. That's why, that's the joke about
somebody on the same political background. Like, I need to have somebody that's politically on the same page with me personally. That's a must in the checklist of things. Is that's important.
Yes.
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 Absolutely. Yeah.
So what do you think? So, okay, so Laura was online. So we did kind of look through some things for Show Prep, the eHarmony, the Match.com. I actually just happened to, we are opening Culver's. So my brother-in-law, we're just like 0.0003 invested. So,
nice.
So it's actually my brother-in-law. It's my brother-in-law's store. But so he is here with us tonight, and one of his friends is here. They're both bachelors, and so it's interesting because initially, and I think this is a good point to bring Stephen. Initially, when they got divorced, just what we talked about, they went right for that younger, you know. Woman.
So, now, is this where we do the anti-guy thing?
So,
no, hey, we like what we like.
I have not any.
I'm sorry, Leslie.
So I won't be joining on that.
Well, one of my very good friends, she's extremely successful. She is attractive. She is 50 years old, and she said it's really hard because to find a guy when you're out in the dating world, a guy that's 50 wants him that's 37.
Exactly.
And so, so that.
Wait.
Then,
no, wait. See,
okay,
you asked me to come on, so I'm going to come on. I think this is a perception you guys have. It's not necessarily reality. The perception from women that are 50 is that all guys that are 50 want a girl that's 35 or 37 or something like that. I'll be completely honest with you. That's fine. No problems there. But that's not necessarily what guys that are 50 are looking for. Yeah, okay, if you're a rich guy, sugar daddy, and you just want, you know, some eye candy hanging off your arm, fine, go out and get whatever you can buy. But that's exactly what you're getting. If you're going out and you're actually looking for a relationship with somebody, you're probably going to find somebody that you want to be slightly more in line with where you are in life. And if you're 50, you're probably not wanting to start over with kids again. If you're 50, you're probably not in the exact same place as far as careers go. You want somebody who's probably going to be at a position when maybe when you get closer to retirement, they're closer to retirement as well. I mean, I don't think that the perception is valid, as you guys think. And this is coming, by the way, from a 50-year-old divorced guy. Okay, so here I am. I think I can speak, pretty honestly about this.
I'm the opposite. I'm actually looking for, a 98 to 90-year-old man. possibly with, an oxygen tank. And, I mean, my ultimate dream would be that he would have this gigantic trust fund and no living heirs.
I want to
Anna Nicole Smith somebody.
Yeah, and that's fair too.
Okay.
No, but I personally, I don't want somebody a ton younger. I think a few years, as long as they are have some sort of past, whether it's they themselves are divorced or have children, definitely have a set career, things like that. You know, a little bit younger is fine, but a ton younger, I already have a child. I don't want to be raising and teaching a boyfriend how to be a man.
Yeah.
I want a man.
Right. Yeah.
I'm with you. I can't even imagine when you see these mating women that are 20 years younger, the thought as a woman of being with a man 20 years younger, I think it's laughable.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I do like rap music, so maybe, I don't know. I think I could still bust down a rap and maybe a couple dance moves if I, you know, it might not be
oh my goodness.
Dance moves, but I can't pop a hip. So, you know, we'll have to meet in the middle on that somewhere.
Oh my goodness, you are so funny.
And by the way, at 50, I don't want a 70-year-old woman either, so I'm not looking for the cougar. Definitely not looking for the cougar.
I just put it in my mouth.
Yeah. What's
that?
I
tasted a little piece on that one.
Yeah. Cougars with broken hips, no fun.
No, I'm going to leave that piece.
I have an image now in my head of Steve on a cruise ship, you know, out there, you know, shuffleboarding.
Mm-hmm. With the Golden Girls, hanging out with the Golden Girls.
There you go. Thanks.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, look at the time.
When you tap that.
Steve suddenly goes to a break.
might lay down and rethink that, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's go back to all your phone numbers out there tonight on Twitter. I'm just saying.
So,
I always used to give Empire Carpet. That was the telephone number that I would give out.
I am not even. Never mind.
Well, that's a great idea.
Leslie's already set for DMs for life based on this show tonight. So,
I have a question, Leslie. So, when you go out, are your friends constantly trying to hook you up?
Okay, well, first of all, let's start with that very beginning of that sentence. When you go out, let's start there. I work, and I work a lot. And so, because of my work schedule and how much I work, and since it is just myself and my daughter, she has to go to a before care program at school. She has to go to an after school care program. So my daughter's at her school a solid 10 hours a day, every day. So I can honestly say on the weekend, when it comes to the weekend, I want to touch base with my daughter. What's going on at school? How are things going? Because when I get home from work, I pick her up, we come home, and then my second job starts. I make dinner. She sits down. We do homework. Then it's, you know, shower time. Then it's we have a habit of, you know, every night we pick a book and we read a chapter of that book. So we read at night, and then she's in bed, and then that's when I start. I clean up the kitchen from, you know, dinner, start a load of laundry, get things ready for her for school tomorrow, me for work, and then it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So by the time the weekend comes, my main goal is to hang out with my daughter as much as possible, give her that undivided attention. On the rare occasion that I do go out, it is always with my sister and her husband. I'm always like the fifth wheel because they all their friends go and they're all married. Now they will try to say, that guy over there is cute, and I'll be like, I trust you. Like, I'm usually tired or they're listening to my nephew play because he plays in a band and he's extremely talented, and I'm just wanting to enjoy that. But, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, try to push it or the online dating or things like that. But it doesn't usually go over well with Leslie, and it's because whoever runs eHarmony's emails is clearly in a relationship with whoever runs Weight Watchers email, because those tend to come at the same time, and it's confusing for women, because do we follow the Weight Watcher? Like, are we fat, but we're still supposed to date? Or what are we supposed to work on first? I don't know. So,
let me just
not interested.
Yeah, well, let me just jump in here really quick. And we got a DM from Diane, who is sick. Poor thing. Get better soon. And she's like, why don't Leslie and Hammy get together? So just going to throw that one out there.
What is kind of dating all of a sudden? Like, what kind of dating is Hammy?
Didn't he just say he wants to go on the cruise with the Golden Girls? Or was that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who you're consulting there.
Cammy, you don't sound like you have an oxygen tank. It's not going to work.
So, anyway, that's there. Steve's probably thinking, look at the time. And speaking
of... He's probably like, could you have somebody a little bit shyer to be on the show? That would have been nice.
No, it's fantastic. Oh, yeah. It's a great atmosphere.
No, you
yeah,
guys take
it. So much fun having you.
It's the last show ever. I'm just kidding.
It's our final episode. So I just have a question quick for people that are out there. So do you think that eHarmony, so obviously you went on it, Leslie, and you get emails from it. Do you think it's a waste of time?
That's funny. I don't. Oh. I'm not on it. I'm not on any online dating. I think it's my mother. I think that somebody is having these emails routed to me. I'm not on any of those because I don't need to be. Because as I stated earlier, which I will point this out quickly, is my perfect person has to love the Cardinals or pretend to love the St. Louis Cardinals. That is also just as important as politics. But I'm at a place right now where I am extremely happy and in love with all aspects of my life, and so I don't need to add anything to that right at this point.
In case you guys are wondering, she's serious about the St. Louis Cardinals thing.
Oh, I know.
This is not
absolutely.
A
joke.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
She tweets the game.
Yes.
It's her background.
In fact, Laura Lee, you should have Leslie on your AltCon radio show.
Oh, she's going to be. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to do some basketball probably and also baseball for sure. So that is definitely in the works. So,
after tonight's show, which I'll just do my token, you're welcome. I'll just hit you all with that. You're welcome. I'm probably going to get on Twitter and see that either my account has been shut down or probably down to about 200 followers. So thank you, America. I'm going to drop the mic now.
Thank you so much for being here, dear. And we are about ready to head out. So thank y'all for being here. And Steve, what's going on here on AltCon?
Well, thank you so much,
we got...
ladies. That includes you too, Hammy.
Oh, thanks.
thanks.
We got.
You have a good night.
should I do it in like a? Should I my Leslie voice now? We have. What do we have? We've got this Friday night. We've got. Getting Hammered. See, look, I'm all flustered now. Look what you guys did me. We've got Getting Hammered this Friday night with Stevie J. West and I. This will be Stevie's last show for a few weeks. We're going to do the show, and then she's got a bunch of stuff going on. If for any of you know, by the way, Bill, a very bad goat, actually got attacked by some dogs tonight. This poor girl has more bad luck with some of these animals out there. But at any rate, she's got a lot of stuff going on with the kids right now, and she's going to take a break for about 6 weeks, I think, and then we'll come back. So we're going to do something else. I'm thinking Sex and the Naval Aviator or something like that might be a good show. And we'll see on Friday nights. Volunteers, anyone? And then Monday night we'll have Stove Top Politics with Virginia Caruta. And eventually we're going to have a sports show again, right? We got some great guests lined up for you.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. So we will be back again with Down and Dirty Sports.
I'm so excited.
On Saturday night. And I'm like, no, because I'm like, okay. So I'm still thinking about some of this other. Because G just put on here, sex in your navel. So.
What?
So I've got to tell you something. So I will tell you what's behind that real quick. There used to be this thing. There was a aviation physiology class that we all had to take. And it was like, how do you get a bunch of pilots to go hang out in an aviation physiology class? And they actually called the class Sex and the Naval Aviators. It had nothing to do with anything about that. But that was the hook.
Okay. So let's see if that makes more sense, G. Okay. So anyway, yeah. Yes, we will be having some Down and Dirty Sports. And we are so glad y'all could join us tonight. And thank you, everybody in the chat room. Y'all made it so much fun. This has been The Red Wine on AltCon Radio. Thanks, y'all.